A very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this worship service. Today we want to look on the theme called The Gracious Hand of God from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. We realize that God wants to lead us. God wants to be the shepherd of our life. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we seek His presence, as we seek His directions for our life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, O God, which is so powerful and enriches us, O God. We pray that as we listen to your voice, we want to be led by you. We pray, God, that you'll continue to motivate us, help us, guide us, and be with us. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I came across a story that was written by Walter Knight. He tells a story of an old Scottish woman who went from home to home across the countryside just trying to sell threads, buttons, and also shoestrings. There was one time that she came to an unmarked crossroad. She would toss a stick into the air and go in the direction the stick pointed, wherever it landed. One day, however, she was seen tossing the stick several times. And someone came by and asked this lady, you know, why do you toss the stick more than once? She replied by saying, it keeps pointing to the left. I've been trying to throw this, but it's been pointing me to the left. But I want to take the road on the right. And so she kept on until the stick landed on the right. Dear friends, many of us, or almost all of us, know the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We know what God has planned for our lives. We know where the Spirit of God is also leading us. But like this lady, do we want to be led? Because when God leads us, He leads us with His mighty and gracious hand and to wonderful path. And today, we want to look at a very interesting chapter, chapter 2 of Nehemiah, where we read that Nehemiah had been just praying for the past 4 months because God has laid a burden in his heart. And he's been just seeking the Lord, seeking for God's direction. And it becomes very clear where God was leading him. Now he's before the king. And this king is a very powerful king. He was a well-known king in those days. So he comes before the king with a burden. And let's see in this particular passage, you know, the gracious hand of God. And even today, when we know what is God's plan for our life, when we have been before his presence, just seeking his guidance, praying about that, there are many hurdles we might face, but if the gracious hand of God is leading us and we know for sure it is God who leads us, God will definitely guide and be with us. And so let's see the passage, Nehemiah chapter 2, God's gracious hand that led Nehemiah. In chapter 2, you know, he comes before the king, Artaxerxes, in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him. And in verse 1, it continues, it says, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I've not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill at all? This was nothing but sadness of heart. You know, when you look at this particular passage, you realize that Nehemiah had been just carrying this burden, a burden that God has given to him about the people and also the nation of Israel. The walls of Jerusalem have been in ruin. The gates have been burned down. And more than 100 years, you know, people have not been doing anything. And this has been a burden that's been just bothering in his life. He's been just coming across each and every day, and he's been praying about it. And today he approaches the king, and the king sees Nehemiah. He sees the sadness. And this king, being a wise person, knows that this is a sadness of the heart. And what happens? Nehemiah continues to speak to him. And so he says, Nehemiah says, I was very afraid. And he was afraid and he speaks to the king. You know, it's a very powerful passage, because when the first thing I realized that Nehemiah had a burden, but his burden was God-centered. In other words, he had burden for his people. He had burden for the plan that God has given to him. He had burden for the city of Jerusalem. He wanted to build the walls of Jerusalem. A burden that he wanted to see the glory of God being honored, my friend. But he comes before the king. You know, when you read the passage, it's so powerful. He's been praying about it, he's been just carrying, and the Lord opens the door. The Lord opens the way for the king to recognize that this man, this trusted man, he's been carrying a burden, a sadness of his heart. You know, can you imagine for a moment appearing before a king with sadness of heart is not permissible in those days? You will face death, because a person who's serving the king in those days have to be found in a joyful moment, every moment, whenever you meet the king. But he comes with a burden. And God works in the heart of the king, my friend. What a powerful God that we have. God opens the heart of the king. We read in scriptures that the heart of the king is in the hands of God. And so when we carry the burden, when we carry the plans that God has laid in our hearts, whatever obstacle we might face, and if it's God's will, if it's God's plan, and if that burden, if that plan has been laid inside us by God, God opens the door. God does the impossible things. I believe, you know, when you look at the passage, the Lord has been just, you know, has convicted the king to recognize this need. And he helps this man of God, Nehemiah. Yes, firstly we realize a burden becomes a blessing. And nothing is impossible in the sight of God. When we want to do things for the glory of God, when we want to do things that will manifest and exalt the name of Jesus, and we want to live a life according to the plans of God or the purpose of God, God takes away the hindrances, my friend, that might come across our path. Our burdens becomes a blessing. In other words, God opens the door. So whatever problems you might have, you know, as Nehemiah, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to pray and seek the presence of God. God, in his right time, in his right moment, will turn it into a blessing. Secondly, when I look at this particular passage, I realize, you know, I see the second wonderful character in this man. He has a courage. He had a courage, and God recognized his courage. But before the courage, if you realize, he says that he was afraid. Yes, Nehemiah has to be afraid, because this is King Artaxerxes, you know, and he is a very powerful king. And no one should appear before a king with a sadness of heart. And Nehemiah is speaking to the king. The issue or the burden that he's about to say to the king is not something easy, my friend. Because when you look at the historical background, what was happening, this king was not only powerful, he didn't want anyone to build the walls of Jerusalem. He didn't want anyone to help improve the life of the Israelites in this land. He was instrumental to bring the people down. How can you approach a king who had been instrumental to bring your people down, who was not concerned about the walls of Jerusalem, because he saw if the walls of Jerusalem is up, it's a threat to him and also to his empire. Nehemiah was afraid. He says in this particular passage, I was afraid. But then he appears with courage, with faith in God. The passage also says, even before he opens his heart before the king, he opens his heart to the Almighty King. And he whispers a prayer, even at that crucial moment. And he reveals to the king the burden that we have been. You know, when you look at the passage very carefully, he talks about his people, how his people are in distress. He talks about the city. He talks about the gates that they've been destroyed by fire. The city is in ruin, and lives are really affected. But even in this fear, he took the step of courage. He wanted to face this king and to express his burden, his concern, his desire, his devotion, his plans before this king. Just can you imagine, a king was so powerful, he didn't want any improvement to happen in that particular city. When you hear such a concern, what would you do? But as I said, as we heard, the Lord has control over the king's heart, my friend. And here we realize that whatever Nehemiah requested before the king, he requested for leave, that he wanted to be away to do the things that have been laid in his heart. He asked for letters so that he will have a safe passage in the Trans-Euphrates. He is asking for timber from Asaph. Now, look at the list. He's been asking the king for leave of absence. He's asking the king for provision. He's asking the king for letters. But when you look at the passage, Nehemiah beautifully says, the king granted all the requests because of the gracious hand of God. Because of the gracious hand of God, Nehemiah came with courage, and God changed the heart of the king. He provided whatever Nehemiah wanted, my friend. And that's the God that we worship. Today, I think this is what God is speaking to us through this particular passage. You know, yes, we have fear. We have fear as to how we should share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are moments that we have fear to do the things that God has laid in our hearts. But we need to ask God to give us the faith. We need to ask God to give us the courage. We need to ask God to give us the boldness. And we need to take risks for God. And he was able to take the risks. It knows it could be end of his life. But it was worth giving my life for this God Almighty. And God not only opened the heart of the king, but also God gave whatever Nehemiah requested. Yes, my friend, I think it's important for each and every one of us to have faith in God, to have confidence in God, and also to take the step of courage and boldness and to stand for the Lord Almighty. Lastly, when I look at this particular passage, you know, he goes with the king's blessings, he goes to the city and he sees the city is in ruin. The gates have been burnt. Can you imagine? It has been just in this pathetic situation for more than 100 years. How do you speak to the people? How do you engage them? How do you motivate them? It has been an acceptable thing. It has been a norm in the life of these people. How do you bring interest in the life of these people? How can you challenge them, even encourage them to be involved in the building of the walls of Jerusalem? Look at the passage very carefully. Because Nehemiah was really devoted to his work. There was a devotion to God. He comes before the people and the city councillors and he expresses his burden. He speaks to them and says, the burden that God has laid in his heart. He wants them to see the seriousness of the situation. When you look at the passage very carefully, he uses the word like troubled. He uses the word like we are in disgrace. The city is in ruin. You know, he used strong words. He wanted people to realize that this is the reality. You know, this is the situation that we are in. We need help. He doesn't complete thereby, but he says, I want to be part of this. I want to be involved in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And he sees and he tells his people that he's one of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The people would have seen him as a great man because he comes with the letters from the government. But he wants to identify with the people. And I believe it's all worked because of his prayers, because of his devotion, because of his courage and his boldness. And what was happening? When Nehemiah speaks about the burden that he had and how the Lord's gracious hand was with him throughout these days, how God has provided, how God has opened the doors. You read it in this interesting passage. The city officials came and said, you know, let us rebuild. They said, let us rebuild. What an encouragement. What an encouragement. They came and they said, you know, let's build this wall, which is 4 kilometers, you know, in terms of length and a height of 12 meters and an average thick of 2.5 meters, my friend. And they said, let us rise up and build. Nehemiah's devotion to God, Nehemiah's devotion to the burden that God has laid on him, Nehemiah's devotion to God's glory, my friend, brought about the dedication of the people by saying, we want to be part of this. We want to be part of this so that the glory of God will be seen and acknowledged by people in this area. Yes, when you look at history very carefully, this city was in ruin for more than 100 years. But because of the devotion of Nehemiah and also the dedication of the people, they came as one people, they came with one desire, they came with one motive to glorify God. History says that in 52 days, they were able to build the walls of Jerusalem. In 52 days, how was this possible? Because the gracious hand of God was there. It was the gracious hand of God that moved the hearts of the people. It was the gracious hand of God that worked in the lives of people. Yes, my friend, we need the gracious hand of God. And God wants to work in our lives. He wants to lead us. He wants to be the shepherd of our life. And we need to ask God to give us that burden. And Nehemiah had that burden. He was praying because it was a God-centered burden. And not only he was praying, but I think he took the step of faith, the step of courage, boldness. He was willing to speak. He was willing to take the risk before the king because of his sincere devotion and because of God's gracious hand, people gave their lives to build the walls of Jerusalem. Dear friends, I think God invites us even today. God invites us not only to build our lives, to build our families, to build our cities, but God wants us to fulfill the plans that he has for our lives and he wants to do through our lives. Let me close by sharing a story that I read from the writings of Dr. F.B. Meyer. So once F.B. Meyer was actually crossing from Dublin to Holyhead in those days, and so he was in this particular ship. And so it was a very, very dark night. There was no stars. And for a moment, Meyer was asking himself, how would this captain, you know, bring the ship to harbor? And so he went to the captain and, you know, spoke to him, and he said, you know, how do you find Holyhead Harbor on a dark, starless night? And the captain replied by saying, he said, look ahead. Can you see three lights? Meyer said, yes, I see three lights. And he said, the three lights have to be lined up one behind the other, and it will become a one straight line of vision, and I'll follow them. When it becomes, the three becomes one, I'll follow, and I'll safely come to the harbor. Meyer used in his writings, and he said, he compares this three lights of God's word, the conviction which is given by the Holy Spirit of God, and also the circumstances in our believer's life. When I was reading this illustration or story, I'm just reminded, even today, I think we need the three things. We need to have that God-given burden in our life. What is the burden that God has laid in our hearts, my friend, about Him, about the plans that He has? What is the burden that God has given to us? Are we praying about it? And do we have the second, which is the courage, the boldness, and to take the risk, and to be totally devoted at all times, to be devoted? Yes, God wants to lead our lives, and God wants to guide us, because He is the good shepherd and He knows the way. I want to pray. Let it be our prayer that throughout these days, we will always give ourselves to the prompting of the Spirit and say, Lord, You lead us, O God. You lead us, and continue to give me that burden, that courage, and to be devoted to the call that You have given to us. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that we can, Lord, have access to Your word, O God. And we thank You for people like Nehemiah. Lord, we pray that You, even Lord, as You have laid some burdens in our life, O God, for the church, for our families, and also for our nation, we pray, God, that we'll give ourselves in prayer and to take the step of faith or courage, O God, and to be devoted till we see Your name and Your plan and Your purpose is fulfilled. We thank You once again for Your word. We thank You for Your presence. And we thank You for Your gracious hand. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.